Radio Space Curiosity.
Hello, I'm Sara.
And I'm Michal.
And we are from the Faculty of Architecture at TU in Vienna. Within the course Emerging Fields in Architecture, we were investigating the essentials in relation to current and future issues relating to our environment, sustainability and humanity. How sociology impacts the process of urbanization and architecture design?
How the sociological study of Roma people helps us to understand their needs and implementation to the society. The topic explores the interesting connection between sociology, ethnic diversity, and modern urban architecture and how they influence urban design. As cities become more multicultural, it's essential for architects and planners to understand social dynamics. Incorporating diverse culture perspectives can transform architectural styles, encourage community engagement, and enhance public spaces. Sociological studies show that sociological ideas significantly shape architectural choices, emphasizing the importance of reflecting ethnic diversity in urban design. Architecture plays a crucial role in defining a city identity and fostering social connections among different communities.
This exploration highlights the necessity of integrating sociology and architecture to create designs that represent the complex identities of urban residents, resulting in inviting spaces that promote belonging for everyone. Roma people, as Europe's largest ethnic minority, face severe housing exclusions and homelessness. Issues include living in substandard conditions, forced evictions without alternatives, and spatial segregations. Discrimination is a major barrier to accessing adequate housing.
We want to discuss the topic of the connection between sociology, ethnic diversity and modern urban architecture sociology and its implementation and effect of designing process. We invited our special guest Katarina Smatanova, who is an architect and urban planner designer, and currently she is teaching in the Faculty of Architecture and Design of the Slovak Technical University in Bratislava, as a head of the Department of Urbanism and Spatial Planning. Hello everyone, welcome to our podcast. We would like to introduce you, Katarina Smatanova. Katarina, welcome.
Hello everyone.
First of all, can you tell us about what motivated you to work in social architecture and focus on disadvantaged communities?
I think that it's the obligation of each of the architects to work within some social framework. And I think it's the role of each of us to take care of our environment, whatever it means, the physical environment or the human environment.
And what skills do you believe are essential for future architects interested in social development?
Well, first of all, is the skill that comes as a first to my mind is the empathy, to be empathetic. And I think that's one of the characteristics that we need to look at and focus on developing in the whole 21st century throughout different disciplines and different fields of work. And once you have enough empathy, which is actually a skill that you can train, and I think there is already quite a number of different innovative methods of how you can train that, how to be more tolerant and more conscious about what are other people or other things in your life needing and what are their different perspectives. I think this is the basic common ground for finding solutions and innovations for any future.
As a university professor, how do you approach the topic of social architect with your students?
Within the Faculty of Architecture and Design and the courses that I'm taking care of, I think we are making sure that we are doing two things. One thing is that we do the value-oriented education. So that means that we are focusing and we are making sure that students understand the values of what we are doing and why we are doing it. And the other thing is that the precise and specific design, we are trying to choose for the students an assignment that are somehow connected to this topic. So we quite a lot of work in the context of diverse ethnic communities. We are working with diverse neighborhoods that have different socio-economical backgrounds. And also we are making sure that the students come across the ordinary people.
How has the concept of social housing in Slovakia evolved over time?
Depends on how far to the history are we going to look at, but maybe very briefly is, I think, the most, just a very few important milestones. The first was definitely the communism regime, the socialist era, when the social housing meant providing housing for everyone and housing of the same quality. And it was connected more with transformation of the country from the rural to the urban one. So if you wanted to transform the rural areas to the urban ones, you had to build many new flats. And that is the situation that we have still existing in the form of Panelmaz housing estates that still creates a huge amount of our building stock.
We know that you have been working on many innovative social projects. What architectural or material innovations have you found particularly useful for projects in low resource areas?
So once you are working with the people from already somehow stigmatized neighborhood, which means that these people are from the lower socioeconomical part, using for their architecture or for their building stock the materials that are different to the materials that are used by the mainstream society into which you want to integrate and include, it wouldn't help to this inclusion, because you will end up with, again, one group of people having something different, also visually different to the rest of the people. So what you really can find that in the low-income communities, people use some more of the recycled materials and these kind of things, but I don't think these materials do really provide standard that being in European Union, all of us should be meeting. But what you can find in these communities is the huge amount of the human capacity and human empowerment.
We also want to ask you, are there housing models you consider ideals for replication in other regions with similar contexts?
Well, I do believe in site-specific architecture. I think that different contexts should get different architecture. That's the role of us, architects, to create in every single context something specific for it. I would maybe answer the question that is maybe not the housing models, but maybe there are some principles that can be applied in different contexts. So the first principle would be definitely doing site-specific architecture. Then the other principle is definitely in the focus on the process of designing and on the process of creating the architecture, because in that process you can involve the people and the people will tell you the best what they need, and then can inform your architectural form, and that would be something that would make the architecture at the end of the day to be really outstanding. And the third principle would be that do not make the financial issue, the financial matter, be the most important one. And because I think that we are really living in a rich world, and if there will be no architects playing the game of preferring low-cost measurements, so there will be no one designing the houses like that. So I think all of us need to look at, to me, more important aspects of the building process, which is rather the process itself. This is the inclusion of all the people involved, and it's also the aesthetic and other values of architecture, not how much it costs.
Which subdisciplines of sociology contribute to architecture sociology, and how do they influence architecture practices?
Because there are many subdisciplines of the sociology. As an architect, use the sociology for architects or the urban sociology mostly, because it's focused on the people and people in the built environments. Because sociology is more focused on the people, of the groups of the people. On the architectural scale, we can talk about rather psychology, because psychology is a discipline that is focused on experience of one person. So on the architectural interior design level, it's more about the psychology, and on the urban level, it's more about the sociology. And I think these disciplines, both of them, are inherently connected to our practice, because in the center of our practice there are people or one user of the space. So to me, it's been for years really ununderstandable how can we move forward as an architect without learning from these disciplines, or maybe without talking about how people feel in the space that was designed for them. And the architecture is initially designed for the people. And in no architecture competition is anyone asking the real users of the spaces, how do you feel there? And that's the psychology. And this also works on the urban level the same. So I think we need to look back at these disciplines. But it's not just this functional manner. It's more about how do we experience the space and how do we feel in this space, if we feel happy in the space. And it's psychology that has the answers, or rather the methodologies, how can we ask the people how they are feeling in the space. And the psychology is also helping us to understand and predict how the people would feel in the space that we are designing before we really construct them. And the same works also for the sociology. So sociology is very much helping us to understand that why do people choose, for example, where they want to live in the city.
You said city in multicultural space. How would the sociology impact the multicultural surrounding or environment in the city? How it helps us to understand, create better environment for the different culture to live in the city?
So maybe I can a little bit illustrate on the example of what we are doing with our students here in Bratislava. Is, for instance, what we've been doing, a big project on mapping the different communities that live in Bratislava. We have new ethnic groups of people from Vietnam, people from China that have never lived in Slovakia in this amount before. And so we are having a look at what spaces in the city do they choose to live in? Why did they choose for these localities? And how do they experience the city? Because it's very different if you are maybe like me, white woman. I do have very different experiences from the city. And it's very different maybe if you are from different community, that you different cultural background. It's also the symbolism of colors. There are different colors mean for different groups of people different things. So what we do with the students, we divide into groups, and students are asked to make an interviews and do the participatory observation research with the communities. And basically we are mapping of where these people live, how they spend their daily routines in the city. We are making that everything on the map. And then we are trying to understand what urban forms are for them more important, what symbols of or the architectural language is something that they are maybe more missing in the city. Why is that? We are also looking at, and the sociology is helping us in understanding that, how to make the city more sensible to also the activities that these groups of people want to do in the public space. And now the way that the public space we have them designed now is maybe not allowing them to.
And may I ask you that you put the sociology inputs from your sociology study in Milano, or it's like the your praxis during the years?
Yeah, I think it's the both. I studied planning for developing countries, and I did part of my studies and part of my job also in India and South Africa. And when you are working in these different, very different cultural context, you really need to understand like why, what are the differences between you and the people you are working with. And also that was part of my education, yes, and I also focused in Milan for the sociology. But I think most of the understanding comes from practicing the architecture and learning by doing.
What are the main challenges faced by the Roma community in Slovakia regarding housing?
So the situation with the Slovak Roma is very specific, also looking it through the lenses of the world. And so is that the community, the excluded community, lives in the rural areas, in geographically remote areas, and many of these areas are somehow locked. It means that these settlements, it's like the, or the villages that have the main share of the Roma community, it's sometimes up to 90%, sometimes up to 100% already now, but generally it's like 60-70% are located in some kind of valleys or in the spaces where there is a landslide, so they have some kind of environmental limitations. At the same time, these areas or the Roma settlements or the informal Roma settlement is what I think you are asking about mostly, is they are not very much formal because of the historical issues, and they are very dense. So the density of the population or the informal Roma part of the village is maybe around 800-1,000 people per square kilometer, compared to the density of the rest of the village, which is like very low. It's about maybe 25 people per hectare. So it's a very big an issue. But then the main challenge comes now, and is that if you are a Roma and you want to not live in a such crowded environment and you want to maybe build a proper house, you basically have nowhere to, because the areas or the villages have nowhere to expand to. So it's a different situation than maybe in the city, or when we are talking about Bratislava, and Bratislava is being experiencing a great suburbanization because it's on the flat area and it has good infrastructure, and you can basically build from Bratislava to Budapest, to Vienna, anywhere here. But when it comes to the Roma settlements, the problem is that many of them are located in the areas that have a big geographical limitations for their development. The second thing is, in some areas still, no one would sell a land or sell the property to the Roma people. And I think the financial issues, which might have been the issue 10 years ago, they are no longer there. Most of the Roma people now also work, formally or informally. So it's more about the change of the attitude from the majority of the Slovak people to find the space. It's also task about us urban planners to find the space where these areas can develop, or what we're gonna do in the future. Like we see that there's a great amount of people who needs a proper housing, and the question is, okay, but where?
Also questions during the era, because I think during the socialism there was like parts of securing or influence Roma people in the society. So do you think the Slovak majority society is open for accepting Roma people?
Generally, in here in Slovakia, we are not ready and not open as a mainstream society to any difference. I think it's not a problem of Roma, or not problem of different ethnicity. I think it's the problem of us. I think it's that we are just scared. We are so unsure about ourselves that we are scared of everything that is different. As you mentioned, now the economic situation has forced us to accept Roma in the matter of allowing them to work, the rest of the society. But it was something that forced us to do that because, well, we run out of the jobs and there are still so many jobs that needs to be done. I also think that this is gonna change in the other ways of life. I think the climate change is gonna bring in a few years' time or a few decades of time. I cannot really predict, but I think it's gonna be maybe 20 years. And people from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds. And I think we need to get ready for it. the worst scenario is that, again, this situation with the climate change will force us to accept. So I think we have now two ways to go forward, or we're gonna do something now and get ready and change ourselves slowly and start to really build our own identity, because this is something I guess we still haven't done from the Habsburg monarchy. It's been still 200 years. I think we can see it in today's politics as well, that we are looking for what is Slovak and what is from the Great Moravi part and what is not Slovak. And I think it's just we have some complex. And because of this complex, we cannot somehow tolerate and something different. We are just scared.
What is the most important thing to think about to influence Roma people to the society, especially for key goals or how the social architecture, including urban planning, influence them to the society?
I think architecture is one of the very important part of any integration process, because architecture forms the environment in which we live, and it is a reflection in the built structure, which we artificially are building in the architecture, like artificial built structure. We reflect or our values or our ways and or our integration, also the integration, how do we live. Basically, if you look at the marginalized communities, they live in ghettos and in poor housing conditions. You really can, on the built structure, see that there is no inclusion, there is some difference. So the first of all is that you need to, and it is also from the sociology, one of the main thing is that when there is a physical segregation, there is also the social segregation. So the physical distance between two people leads or ends up in their also social distance. Less we are connected, more we are friends. So I think the first thing, or the first basic principle that needs to be done in order to integrate some group or make a coherent and complex social system, is that you need to make the people live in one neighborhood. They need to be in good distance one to each other. They need to be together. So we need to create something that really allows for the community to thrive in. And then the second principle would be that the architectural forms needs to be similar. If there can be some small changes, but you cannot really see on the architectural form that this is the group that has the low income group, because it has substandard housing or it has different housing solution, architecture solutions, that someone who lives or who is from the high income group. That's the thing, that when you are creating a house for the super rich, it's all in glass and it's maybe different materials. But then why you are creating something different for someone who is from the low income group, and then you expect that you will create some kind of integration? It does not make sense.
So thank you very much for sharing your insight with us today. It's been truly enlightening to learn more about your perspective on social architecture and its impact. As we wrap up, is there any final message you would like to leave for those who are passionate about making difference through architecture?
My message to the future architects would be that the most important is the process. It's not the result, and that you need to enjoy the process. And I think you are enjoying the process and you are doing it as a team or as a group with the shared fun and shared good feeling from what you are doing together, that will end up in a completely different and very good result than when you are doing the architecture for architecture. My message would be focus on the process and have fun.
Okay, and is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about?
What's maybe the most important is that I do really think that the future is in the hands of the young architects, and especially in the Central European region where we were influenced by the communism regime. You are already the generation that don't remember it, and you are basically don't touch by all the bad things and the bad manners and bad way of thinking. So who is there to provide the real change? It's you, and it's your responsibility. And another important thing is that we discussed is that we should be looking at the architecture from the perspective of how the people feel in the spaces that we create, because this is something that we are completely lacking now when we evaluate the architecture. It's not taught at the schools, at the universities. It's not evaluated also by the architectural associations or whatever. So this is something that we need to get of happiness.
And do you have any final questions?
Yes. So how do you guys get interested in this sociology?
For me, it's the very interesting part of my study in architecture, because we don't have it in the most like education part. We just learning about the space, how to create better space, how to create architecture, or how to put the most important thing in urbanism. But especially we don't have a quite of part of sociology, and we don't learn about the marginalized communities. Is very important, and that's the point I interest in this topic, and I think it's very important to put in the educational system.
For me, it was because there is one design studio in TU in Vienna that talks about types of architecture in some crisis, or like when something happens in one zone, those people where have to live in another place, how do they construct something like easy or fast, so they can live there, like not permanent but in a temporary way. And then I was talking with him, and we just like came out with this topic.
And what's your favorite part of architectural studies so far?
I was thinking about to focus more on social base, because yeah, it's not about developing, it's not about like to assume consume architecture. It's really important to think about, it's all about the people. That's my focus. Influence the people in my future designs, how to understand them and how to implant their needs to my designs.
I think for me it's more like, well, I really like having a building or a place that is not well done, to take this place and then improve it, and like with a few changes the place could change a lot, and people living there could have better life there. So having like these small things that make the place as good as possible.
Thank you for your joining us, and thank you once again for your time and for inspiring us with your work and vision. We look forward to seeing how your ideas and how your points shape the future of social architecture and influence young architects to think about more of this part of interview. And it has been a pleasure having you with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I thank you. And actually, I'm looking forward for your future, how you as an architect going to shape the world that we're going to live in. And fingers crossed for you guys.
Thank you.
Space Curiosity, a radio broadcast by Sandra Halblick-Meusburger and Verena Holzgetan. Space Loop by Don Siggi.